Welcome back. My name is Keith. I'm here with Russian Danny.
What's up?
Mike Fiella.
Hey.
And Charlie.
Welcome back.
It is another episode.
We just finished Thanksgiving.
Yes, we did. Did everyone have a lovely Thanksgiving?
Mine was great. Mine was in Ohio.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Which it wasn't nice getting to the fucking airport, but it was...
LAX is such a joy to travel in.
Dude, there was people walking. Seas of people walking because the traffic was so bad. They got out and started walking. You know, like, you know when you're pulling in? There's people walking all down the fucking thing because the traffic was so bad. It took us 40 minutes to get from the exit of the freeway to the terminal.
Fuck. And that ride share shit really sucks.
Dude.
It really fucking sucks.
I was in a fucking Uber and this dude, I wasn't paying attention. I look up, this dude's like driving. You know, like, those, there's all those strip malls?
Yeah.
He's like driving through one of those over speed bumps and shit trying to do a shortcut. He got roasted there. I had to turn around and go back through the fucking strip mall. It was a bloodbath.
Oh, man. Well, the good news is...
The good news is...
We got Reno.
Reno and the Liberator are on this episode.
How's Reno sound?
Hey, you know how when you get your check, you know, you got to go to the fuck shop, you know, and get yourself a Liberator and a fucking, you know, fucking Sidehill Gouger, and, you know. What the fuck is a Liberator and a Sidehill Gouger?
Something with Sidehill, Sidehill Gouger.
It's almost like you're talking to fucking, like, the dude on a spaceship. You know what I mean? He's talking about shit that's not invented yet, you know?
So incredible. The only time I've ever seen a Liberator in person was at this tech bro dude's house, and it was like, it was so, and he had it out like in his bedroom for a party he was having, and he was like this tech dickhead, and he but, you know, rich as hell and
whatever,
living a great life,
living that
so,
Liberator
whatever
life.
You know, fuck you, dude.
What a Liberator at? No,
but wait, so he Busted used to out. Have it he just had it out in his bedroom, and people were walking around, and he was just like, I'm like, hey, nice Liberator, bro. Way to keep that out in the main room. Like, fuck. Good to see you like to fuck, bro. Yeah. That's nice. Good to know, man.
Yeah.
What a dick. But anyway, I love the fact that Reno knows all the... He knows the tools.
Yeah. Dude, he's great. Not afraid to talk about it.
Yeah. No.
He's not fucking afraid of anything.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
How do you guys know Reno?
I know Reno from a... I met Reno and Mikey... from another friend of ours, Drew. But, you know, all those guys, Reno, Mikey, Drew, they all worked at CRLA, where Danny
That's went. How I met Reno, because he did my intake call at CRLA.
No shit.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I go to call and some of them, hey, that's Reno. You know, like, fucking, I was like, what the
and
fuck?
And CRLA.
Signing up for, you know? Fuck.
And CRLA is, for a reminder for all the folks out there, that's the Batham place.
That's
right?
The Batham
that's
place.
That's the Chris Batham
place.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rehab. But
yeah, that's putting it lightly. Rehab.
Rehab, where you can get the best meth in rehab.
The wildest thing about that fucking, well, there's a lot of wild. We do have to do an episode on that.
Yeah.
Because.
We should try to get that fool on. What do you think he'd come on?
He's in jail.
He's in
forever.
You think he's in jail? He's in prison forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we know where he is. Go to him.
But only two people went to jail. And the other one was this woman who worked there. She was like his sidekick. She got like 8 years.
Yeah, Kirsten.
Right? Yeah, Kirsten. She got 8 years. But she was in a fire camp. You hear about this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was in a fire, women's fire camp, a prison fire camp, and they were fighting the Malibu fires.
Oh, no shit.
And, dude, she was on Batham's property
when
she, like, swung a fucking machete at something, you know, to cut brush, and it, like, bounced up and cut her fucking face open on that dude's property. How fucking random is that?
Oh, God. That's creepy.
Yeah. It's a fucked up situation. Yeah.
All those houses burned down.
Yeah.
All the Malibu ones burned down, you know, which is nuts.
Yeah.
In the fire? Fucking,
Yeah, a bunch of them did. What else do we have this week?
That's it for this episode.
That's it for this episode.
We got some new guests like coming in soon, and we'll get new episodes out.
Coming in. Yeah.
We got Xander Schloss coming in.
And I think we should probably say a little mention of our man Keith here.
Yeah,
had a little episode with Mark Maron. Yep. You might have heard of him in the podcast world. No, it was super cool. And did you have fun?
Yeah, I had fun. It was great. It's super like business. Like, it's great. Like, we're just, I show up and knock, we walk in the kitchen, he gets a coffee and shit, we walk upstairs and like, dude, like literally sit down, and he literally picks up the headphone and you just immediately straight go into it. It's very organic. Yeah, it's
now great. Was this invented? Because he was Glendale. Talking about in some Glendale, huh? Does he have a beach house or something? He was talking about something on his site, on his podcast about being like, oh, I was down by the water.
He went to Ireland the next day after we did it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
On vacation, maybe?
I don't know. Because I was just like, I thought I'd remember you saying Glendale, and I was like, the water?
No, because I think he did like Thanksgiving somewhere else.
The Bay of Glendale. Just beautiful fishing in there. You get those wonderful trouser trout in Glendale that run upstream.
Yeah.
Somebody, I was hanging out with Danny Metz. We went to Slayer the other night, and he was telling me, we were just talking because he listened to it too, and he was like, fuck, it was really good. And he was telling me, and I forgot who the dude's name was, but there was some dude that lived right by Mark when he interviewed
Obama.
Yeah. And this fool was like spun out. Do you know about this or no?
No.
So, it was somebody who was like, yeah, Keith knows him, you know.
Whatever. I probably know him, yeah.
And this dude like had a little, he was like a block over and he was all spun out and he was buying drugs from the dark web, you know, and like ordering a bunch of shit. And he wakes up one day and it's like the entire street is fucking Secret Service, you know? And he's like, oh, fuck, just tripping out. Like, oh, fuck, this is it. They're coming for me, you know? Like, in his fucking living room, like peeking out the windows. And he gets a knock at the door, you know? And like comes to the door, fucking, he's like, oh, fuck, there it is. You know, like, what am I going to do? And he looks in and it's a DHL. And he opens the door and it's literally a package like full of fucking illicit drugs being delivered while
that's Obama, going down.
While that's going down. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Dude.
We need to get that motherfucker on, you know?
That's a great one. I'm trying to think of who that could have been. I mean, it's in, because that was his old house is in Highland Park.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a million people it could be. Yeah. He only moved like a year ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe a year and a half ago.
Well, that was really cool of him, and it was great. Thank you, Mark,
Mark.
The whole It's All Bad team for having our man Keith on, and we're big fans. So.
That's a great beanie.
You like this beanie?
Yeah.
I got one. It says the Black Pearl on it, but not like the one, right?
Yeah,
it's something off about this hat. This is a little restaurant in Rhode Island. And they make a lovely chowder.
The Black Pearl means a different thing to our friend Reno.
Oh, yes, it does.
It does indeed.
Speaking of Reno, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's dive in.
Let's hear it.
Liberator.
Biliousness. Just every once in a while, just in a dramatic. It was right. It worked.
Yeah,
it worked.
It was. People really loved the last two.
I know.
Yeah, Alan was fucking amazing.
Alan's amazing.
And then Blackie and Uncle Vic.
I gotta listen to both.
Alan McDonnell, right?
Mac.
Of course, he's not here, and I can say it right.
Is that how he says his last name, McDonnell?
Yeah, it's not how I said it, and I know the man. And it was just like, hey, we're here with Alan McDonnell, and he's just like, nah.
Hey, Mike, for the first time, busts out notes. He has like
I had notes. I was all trying to be professional, and I was
so
just like,
"So we got Alan McDonald,
So we got Ronald McDonald here, and just like, oh, you're
whack
good.
Arnold's, like coming to America, whack
but yeah,
Arnold's.
He was great. That was awesome.
Yeah, he's got a hell of a story. I heard him on Mark Maron. I haven't listened to your guys' podcast yet with him, but we got to check it out. He was like Larry Flint's one of Larry Flint's right hand men or whatever,
writer, editor. Guy,
yeah, there's some primo top shelf content put out by that organization. Yeah. I'll tell you what, listen,
kept a smile on my face in the 80s.
Fucking wait, A. What about? I never realized till he did the podcast that Chic was his magazine.
Was that really his?
No
magazine?
Fucking way.
Yes.
Yeah. Chic, oh yeah. Right. That's right.
Every biker said, you know what I mean? They would always see like at a white trash tweaker house, it'd be like a pile of porno mags like this.
Yeah.
Chick. But yeah. It's Chic. Yeah.
Yeah. But he, Well, no, because he would write, you know, under all these different names. He also wrote for Big Brothers, which I think is the best skateboarding magazine.
Okay.
Yes, we asked in the ashtray, Reno.
I just don't know. It looked like a fucking something you'd buy like in the Silver Lake Canyon at like. You know what I mean? What's that coffee house that's like right in the Silver Lake Canyon across from 7-Eleven?
Oh yeah,
It's got some pretentious name.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I know the one.
Broom. No, LaMille.
Oh, LaMille.
Yeah. LaMille's across from Letnetti.
Yeah. What
but
the hell?
Remember, it used to be like the Backdoor Bakery.
Backdoor Bakery, which like is that. In Tujunga now.
It is?
Yeah, they reopened.
In Tujunga?
Maddie goes there all the time. Yeah, no, Maddie and Ariana. Bakery. Yeah. It's in Tujunga. The Backdoor Bakery.
It sounds like the name of a Hustler publication. Larry Flint presents.
Food-related porn.
That always was a huge fucking turn-off to me, seeing food in any kind of porn. You're like, what
oh,
the
really?
Fuck? Yeah.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
Like, even if you're watching Springer, you know, and they bring those, like, overweight people out, and they start slathering food on, I just can't watch that shit. It's too much.
Yeah, it's foul. That's why you don't like it. That shit's foul. Yeah, I don't, Springer. I know. Even when they would try to see, get that 9.5-week shit back in the... way back, and it's
yeah,
just
yeah,
like,
I
let's get
that,
out this
yeah.
food. For me, it skeeves me so much. I'm like, who's going to clean all that up?
And like, no, that was
and are you
like
ever
going to,
like, if you do that, if you eat the whipped cream now and you get a little bit of it on the floor and then you're going to go off and have sex and that shit's going to dry and it's never going to get off. It's never going to come out.
That was like the 50 Shades of Grey for our generation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
yep.
all the chicks with 9.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I remember that shit. It's crazy.
What's 9.5 weeks?
It's a Mickey Rourke movie. Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger, right?
It was from another time when Mickey Rourke was a leading man.
Yeah. He was like the shit at the time.
Dude, he was such the shit. It was like people were calling him the baby Brando.
Yeah big time.
He
yeah.
was the next. He was the second coming. He was like 10 years younger than De Niro. So he was like the second coming of De Niro. You know, everybody was like, yeah. this is the guy. He's going to be the guy. The new Richard Gere, he's the man, but like a better actor. Like he was a Brando type.
Yeah,
he was
totally.
A phenomenal fucking actor.
He was rad and super interesting to look at and interesting. Everything about him was
yeah, his whole like kind of the way he talked and
everything
his
was just fucking
mannerisms
cool
and stuff. He was cool as fuck. Yeah,
and then he fucking lost his marble. Mm.
Got all that plastic surgery and fuck. Opened a hair salon in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, real did? Good combination. Yeah. Real good combination.
Hanging out
prize
with his
fighting.
Little dogs and shit. The whole
has
thing.
Anybody here ever used a penis pump?
Yeah, I have.
So segue.
It's fucked up.
I don't
it's
believe
really
they
fucked
have.
Up.
I don't believe they come in a thimble size.
It's
so tell
up.
Us about it.
You know what? I discovered like pornography and like all that hardcore fucking just dirtbag shit around the same time I discovered meth.
Yeah.
So I just used to fucking just wild
they
kinda
go
fuck
hand
out.
In hand.
Totally. But yeah, like I mean it you just fucking pump your dick up and it sucks
with air?
All the, no. It's like it's like a plastic chamber with a rubber kind of like seal on it. You push it down on your dick against your body mm-hmm. and you pump it and it sucks blood into your dick to make it like super, it's kind of crazy. And then you just like, at some point, unless you're like a masochist, you just go, what the fuck is this? And you take it off. But it
does
like,
it hurt?
Yeah, it does hurt.
My buddy was doing it. My buddy's wife was out of town. He lived over by Echo Park Lake. And
by the lake, pumping his dick up.
Well, he was
he
lived
so
right by the lake.
What do you?
He went. He was all fucked up on speed. Huh? You know, like got some porn skis, and he just bought a penis
porn
pump
skis,
and he brought the thing home, and he said, you know, he's all fucked up on crank, and he puts it on his dick, and he starts pumping up, but he's on speed, so his dick's getting bigger, and he's getting more excited.
Yeah,
you know. So
he's got something
pumping.
To stroke now and shit. Instead of this shit being all like.
But the next thing, it actually yanked one of his balls in there and got it in like a fucking guillotine.
No,
I've heard of that
happening. Yeah,
and it was stuck, and he had to get like shampoo and fucking pry it off. And then he's like, "Fuck!" It freaked him out. So we had to get rid of it, and it had like, you know, the box had like dudes getting down and all that. So he didn't want to throw it in his trash because it was a trash day. So he went and threw it in the neighbor's trash. Then he said at like 4 a.m. He said he heard rumbling. He looked out and he saw like a can collector like with the box looking at pulling it out.
That's so
man.
Funny. I used to always like get super whacked out and fucked up and either buy or steal fleshlights all the time.
What's a fleshlight?
Fleshlight's like a pocket pussy, you know what I mean?
It looks like a flashlight.
Oh, it literally looks like a flashlight?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a mag light. Yeah. But it's a lot.
Yeah, but you just but you just go to town.
I think they made it like that.
Maglite for
I think they made it like
penis.
That for you to like be able to kind of just have it in the car or wherever if you're like into that. Like, it just wouldn't look like it was any big thing.
I hate to differ with a guest, but I don't believe if that's sitting in the car.
If you, no, anyone would ever. It has a. It's like black plastic has a cap on it, and
so
it
you
just,
don't see the vagina.
It literally
part.
Looks like a thermos or something.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
So the part with
but
the,
I could
with
never
the
keep
vagina.
Them. I could never is, keep them because right. I was so like after I would like get high and pound it out or whatever, I would be like, oh, I'm not gonna fuck it. Oh, but one time, I did. I would just, you know, throw it or get rid of it. And they're expensive too. Like they're like $200 or something.
They're probably, I think they're cheaper now.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I
it's
know.
It's like the iPhone, you know, the iPhone first comes out. It's like yeah, fucking right. $1,300 and shit.
Just straight
now they're like
leasing
fucking $69. But, and I would just, yeah, I would, you know, the next day I'd be like, fucking throw it away or get rid of it or whatever. But I went and checked into Tarzana one time, and I had like a bag of accoutrement from like partying in the streets and running around and doing all this shit. And I somehow or another, it was one I didn't throw away or whatever. And I checked in there. I remember I checked in and I was so fucking sick, man. And this like Cholo SA dude who was like the nurse in the detox was like, because they search everything, you know, they search every fucking thing. And I had these Vans high tops and. You know, he you know, went like this and turned it upside down in this like brand new crystal clear, like really expensive speed pipe came falling out of my shoe with like a bowl perfectly melted in it.
Like dope in it?
Yeah. Like I still think about that fucking bowl to this day that I didn't get to smoke that bowl.
Were you trying to smuggle it in?
Oh, no, I did. I
you
went
forgot
in,
about it?
Every time I've ever gone into treatment, I've always been like, I'm ready to go into treatment.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to do what they tell me to do or whatever. But I was really sick and it came flying out of my shoe and I was just like, hey man, just let me take a fucking couple hits off that thing real quick. Yeah. And he was like, nah, he got pissed off and shit. You know, he was gonna tell on me or whatever. But anyway, so I checked in all this shit and then I was there for a while and they have all these like social services you can sign up for and everything else. And this woman that facilitates all that, and she was this kind of like ex-biker, white trashy kind of lady or whatever. Real flirty, real touchy and shit with all the dudes. With all the woods anyway, you know what I mean? And she grabbed me out of group. She goes, hey, you know, I know you're leaving tomorrow. You got some stuff in the office that we need to like give to you, release to you or whatever. And I'm like, okay, what, you know, what is it? You know? And she took me in her office and she busted out this fleshlight and put it on the desk and shit.
No way.
And I was like, I forget exactly what the exchange was. I was just like, you know, you can just throw that thing away, man.
Did she know what it was?
Oh, she popped the cap on it and saw the pussy part and everything else. And then she like grabbed me by the shirt and she's like, I fucking love you. Like that.
No way.
I swear to God, man. She just was reminiscing about old times when it was probably like getting down. You know what I mean?
That's
so
great.
Funny. Yeah. Wow. Humiliating shit around that sex and speed, man. I'm telling you, it just.
I know that
dark.
Like my dude, I was talking to my buddy Anthony, like my you know Anthony, my childhood friend, and he's like he calls and he's one of them dudes, he goes right into some story, like, you know, catch you off guard. He's like, he calls me, he goes, hey, do you remember that big black dildo I had, Thor? And I go, what? And he goes, I sold that briefcase full of dildos to Dave, our friend's dad, I swear. And I go, what? And he goes, remember I sold for $50, I sold that briefcase full of dildos
a
to Dave.
A briefcase full of dildos. Like,
yeah.
Not only, like,
only speed.
Speed, yeah.
But he sold it to our friend's dad. And when he's talking about Thor, he goes, you remember? He goes, I got it from Joel Clark. And I go, hold on a minute.
Was the friend's dad on speed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I was like, hold on a minute.
So crazy.
You're trying to you're trying to start a story and the subject is a dildo. That was in a briefcase that you sold, you know, a group of our friend's father.
But you got the big one.
You got the big one from the other homeboy. I go.
That just always grossed me out, man. That you just like.
It's like a third hand dildo.
Yeah, like just you know you if you're gonna party. No man, you gotta buy. Go get it. Buy the shit.
That shit's gotta be new.
And throw that shit away when you're done.
No, that's like used condoms. What are you gonna do? Be like, hey man, you got any old condoms?
Yeah. Microwave them and shit.
Microwave.
Clean those right up. No problem.
Put him in the dishwasher. So crazy.
Dude. Reno, you've never seen a ghost, have you?
You know what? I saw a lot of shit on meth psychosis that yeah. I thought was for real. But after I kind of figured out what that was on reflection, this house that I used to hang out at in Sherman Oaks that was when I first came to LA and like moved up here and started getting crazy. My buddy lived in this trust fund kid's house. Well, he was a man in Sherman Oaks up like by Casa Vega, you know, where Casa Vega is up there.
Yeah.
It's like Long Ridge. I mean, the houses are like this up there. Yeah, it's fucking beautiful. So this dude was someone I grew up with, my best friend from like 11 years old. I still talk to him to this day. And he was good friends with this guy. He was the heir to, do you remember those movie theaters, cinema?
Fuck yeah.
They
yeah.
were like at every mall and shit. Yeah. Well, his dad was the founder of that. I think the dude's dad had like 3,400 cinemas when he sold it or some crazy number. But anyway,
so he was worth millions, tens and tens.
Yeah. So, but millions, all the kids were pretty fucked up and the dad was pretty buttoned up, you know, so he was like, the son had reached an age where he was like, you're getting broke off. So he bought this house up in Sherman Oaks and it was gated and you know, it was like the compound. Mm. And,
is he alive, that kid?
No, he's dead.
He is.
Yeah. Right. It was a sad story, actually. I mean, pretty much fast forward to, you know, so the house was just like really isolated, backed up against that mountain. The back of it goes right up to Coldwater Canyon, you know, whatever, but it was really isolated and weird. And, you know, it was, I remember being up in there and hearing shit and seeing shit and kind of tripping out on that sort of thing. But yeah, fast forward to the dude was a big time heroin addict, nicest guy on the planet, super generous, super cool. We had a lot of fun up there at his place, but yeah, he got busted for some shit, went to rehab to beat the jail time. And then got done up there in rehab in Malibu and then came back there to the house and yeah, we found him dead in the bathroom one day. It was fucked up. It was really sad.
We gotta do a story on dead dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of them, especially lately.
Yeah.
And what was the stuff that you saw when you, now, so you were tweaking fairly hard.
Yeah,
when you were
I mean,
there,
I think
so
most of it was like people creeping and crawling around there, noises. Yeah. There were some rooms upstairs that were you weren't supposed to go into that you'd hear shit. There was nothing really notable, but anytime anybody was left there alone, which when he was away, there was only like two or three of us that were trusted to stay there. So we couldn't really have a lot of people over there. So we would take turns watching the place and then go run amok. All right, you stay here now. And then you'd go run them up for 36 hours and come back and break the other dude. But I remember it was like not the kind of guy to get. I was super fucking locked up and paranoid. I'm like, dude, I heard this. Someone just fucking say this out loud and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, it's the house settling. It's the wind. Like he always had like a total logical. He was a lifetime partier, you know? He
was
super grounded. But I left him there one time alone to fucking go run amok. And I went running amok and I came back to the house. And I came in the pad and I was like, yo, where you at? You know, trying to find him. And we had this bedroom that we shared in the back. And I walked in there and he was sitting on this stool facing this fucking sliding glass window. And I opened the door and he just had like a 9mm like this up in his hand. And he just looked at me and he goes, shh.
You know what
I
mean?
I was like, oh my God. It's that isolation and meth thing too. Your mind just goes crazy, man. It's
and he'd been
up.
There alone.
He'd been there alone for a couple of days, but crazy deal. Fast forward a little bit. The heir died. So his family kind of all of a sudden kind of started sending people around to kind of like, you know, take back over everything and stuff. And there was a lot of kind of like miscellaneous crazy shit going on there. And one day was there with this girl escort, kind of hot blondie partier girl. And three dudes came in and around the back of the house and just started fucking taking shots in the window. I kind of think it was his dad's people trying to get rid of him.
Shooting
it. Yeah, he got into a straight up shootout with these guys, got shot in the knee. And it was a really fucking kind of kooky, crazy scenario.
Wait, his dad sent people to go
shoot at his kid? No,
the kid was dead.
He was dead now. Oh, and he was kind of like...
Shoot at people who were hanging around the house afterwards.
You know, I feel bad like calling people's names. He's a lifelong friend of mine. He's a good dude. He's a stand-up dude.
Well, you didn't say his last name, right?
Yeah.
And if you did,
we could bleep it out, bleep too.
Yeah, just bleep it. You know, anyway, so, yeah, like, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just, like, because we were all in the drug scene, like, no one was really able to, like, do the right thing.
Yeah.
According to the way regular people see it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody kind of tried to look after and maintain, but after he left, it was like, okay, well, I'll go when I find another place to go. But his dad's people, they even referenced themselves as agents of the blank family when they were coming around. They're like, I'm an agent representing the blank family. And they weren't like law enforcement agents,
probably
like Pinkertons or some shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of dough they had.
And they exchanged fire.
They exchanged fire. Yeah, they did, man. They legit did. I know. I was over there afterward. Like, it was on the news. I was being brought out on a stretcher with a fucking shot to the knee. It was a whole ordeal.
Did he go back to the pad after that?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I did too. Matter of fact, I was there when they finally, the sheriffs came and they just said, you guys just grab whatever you can grab and get the fuck out of here. And it was another one of those things is like kind of like, you wish that you could have like handled yourself with maybe a little bit more integrity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but you know, like I said, like we all definitely did the best that we could to prop one another up. Nobody took advantage of per se, but it was, you know, like a crazy dark situation.
Well, it's also like, it's those situations and I've been in them before when someone else has like a whooping. Like where you're partying, you know, and you're going for it, and it's not that it's good, but then someone else is just like, oh wow, that guy's going Superman style. It starts to become a strange and can be strained relationship, right? And you're like, what are the boundaries of this? Like,
yeah,
like when am I acting in my interests? When am I acting in our mutual good interests? Like all that stuff. Also, just you reminded me, it's like. Houses where there is that kind of chaos and it, you know, drug or no matter what can often, I think they take on, I mean, you know.
Oh, the house takes on an energy that's
well,
like.
Well, I just, yeah. I mean, yeah, that part of it, but also just like, also drugs have a way of making shit feel haunted for sure.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Like we used to go to this gal's house. We used to call her Normandy Nancy. And cause she lived in that little area on Poinsettia Place. In these little Normandy style houses, and I think they were Disney houses.
That right where it turns, right?
Right. Yeah, right in that little and there were that little weird cul-de-sac area.
There was always like hot models that lived there,
dude. There was hot models
behind the park, right?
And there were always fucking
Like a block over from the park,
okay,
or north of Santa Monica. There's like a little turn thing right there,
dude. This was. There were hot models and like aspiring at, you know, it was a place where Chaplin used to like bring out starlets and be like, yeah, no, I got a place for you to stay right over here.
Oh, no way.
I happen to own that place and I have the key, so I'll see you at any hour of the night or day.
That's incredible.
So that's cool. So he was, he
was a savage.
He was a
Charlie Chaplin was?
Yeah, demon. Hell yeah. Demon. And she was, you know, we had a lot of fun times. Yeah. But there was definitely, you know, a lot of talk of like, does this seem mysterious? Does this seem haunted here?
Yeah.
It's like, does it seem haunted? When I look out of the right side of my eye, things are all moving. When I look on the left, things are running past me.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, yeah, it does seem haunted.
What kind of drugs were you guys doing there?
She was speed.
Yeah.
And she was the person who had glass. She was the first person I'd ever met who had the glass. And her shit was glass and Darvocet.
Oh.
And she's used to get fucking wild.
A winning
I was
pair.
Just going to say, that's like when you get just high enough to where she can fit stuff in her butt. Is that what?
Let's just say it was an exploratory time. But there was the glass, there was the Darvocet, and then there was just gallons of Jasco. And stripping walls, a lot of renovating.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Lots of renovating. Lots of just like, really, we're doing the bathroom again. You know, you know that there are two kinds of people who renovate their bathroom every 2 weeks: billionaires' wives and fucking meth
drug addicts.
Like,
yeah,
that's
totally
how that goes. Like, that's you would be like, oh, and good. You show the up
there,
again.
You're Ground like, you show up there, you want to get high and fuck, and she wants to redo the bathroom. Like, god damn it.
Let's just do it, like,
days.
Dude. And it was all—it's always a crapshoot because you're just like, is this gonna be a construction day or is this just gonna be a fun day? It's gonna,
That's harsh.
I was a young man,
dude.
Lots of energy and enthusiasms.
Fun times, fun times.
There's a thing. I don't know if it was like, because I've been in like the underbelly of Hollywood, like in the early '90s. I've told Danny before, like,
oh, dude,
where I was like, I mean, I was kind of, I mean, you know, when you. People think like where me and Reno are from, like, because it is kind of Wild West style.
Yeah.
Dude, early 90s was fucking crazy,
but
in
dude,
LA.
That
anything just, goes in Hollywood. That's
just
what I loved
the riots.
It so much.
But I didn't know that until I got stuck there one night and I was like, fuck, it is going down. Yeah. Here. Like, yeah. It was you know, like, where it's like.
Like
abandoned.
The Catalina wine mixer.
Huh?
It's going down like the Catalina wine mixer. No, it's true. That's what I love about it. Cause back where we're from, it's like there's all this like bullshit prison code. You can't, you got to, you know what I'm saying? It's like all this shit that everybody's breaking, you know, but Hollywood is just like, go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dude, at any hour of the night or day, I'd go out, I'd leave that place at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, or show up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and there'd just be people out, and I'm just like, wow, you're gardening, huh? That's I'm sure that's just nature calling you. But like, just, you know, people sleeping in a car, people dumpster diving in any. She used to love to go dumpster diving, dude.
This chick in Glendora used to have the schedule of, you know, like the whenever Beverly Hills Trash Day, Hollywood Hills Trash Day.
Oh, no way.
So did Nancy. That's amazing.
Yeah, she'd shoot out and, dude, you know.
She'd come up.
You used to come the fuck up.
Yeah,
I would fucking make my rounds and go to different tweakers and see what they gotten and trade them shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I'd get lucky once in a while and get like some non-clothing item because it would always wind up going with her. And she'd be like, come on, let's get in the car. I'm like, you really think driving's a good idea? And then, you know, the next thing you know, you're just like, yeah, she'd go to some place in Beverly Hills and be pulling out like rad jackets and shoes. And
that's
crazy
so crazy,
shit.
Right?
I never seemed
to get
it.
Shit. I loved that shit.
Yeah.
Were you a dumpster diver?
You know what? I wasn't a dumpster diver, but I knew some people that were. And when I'd roll with them sometimes, like they would, you would come up on shit. You'd be like, damn. But then they got into like not just dumpster diving, like cracking the backs of like diesel truck trailers that were parked. And
oh yeah,
shit.
That it comes with the territory.
Yeah,
you,
like,
you see a garage with a rusted lock on it, you're like, oh, ain't nobody been there in a while. You know?
Yeah.
Oop, yeah, let me get the keys to the city and go see what's good.
Women seem to do better at dumpster diving overall because like because super stylish women, you know, go through their clothes and like, you know, things have a shelf life. A guy will hold onto a pair of pants until it rips
up
his ass.
Seriously.
You know? No matter how rich he is, like that Brioni will be shredded on the bottom like you're homeless before much, especially rich dudes part with shit.
Yeah.
Like they don't like to part with shit.
My buddy that was a big dumpster diver, I remember like going with him like the first or second time. He's like, you know, those like, little tunnels on the side of the dumpster that like where the arms go in to pick it up.
Yeah.
I remember he's like, first rule when you're going dumpster diving, you always take your pipe out and hide it in this fucking.
No way.
You don't know, the cop's going to run up on you.
Yeah.
And back then it was like a felony to have dope in a pipe. You know what I mean? He's like,
not,
yeah, you just put your pipe in there.
No.
Dude, it's so crazy how the streets are now. People are just wiling out.
Motherfuckers just smoking meth, just out in broad
shooting
daylight.
Dope.
Dude,
yeah.
I saw a guy with a big ass, like, you know when you're trying to, like, blow a pipe and you're, you know, like using some fucked up shit. You got a big ass pipe like this.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He was just like on Los Angeles Street downtown, just like 5 p.m. traffic, just turning a big old bowl, just taking big old hits. It's like 1.5 foot crazy pipe with a bowl the size of like a softball. And I started trying to film him. I was in traffic.
Speed took over crack, right, Danny?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Easily. Like,
yeah. I remember it right when it began happening, and it was like, you were like, oh, y'all motherfuckers are doing meth now? You know?
It's so funny.
Well, you get way more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
But it's so cheap now, Mike. It's 200 bucks an ounce.
What?
Speed is?
That's the street price.
What does that work out to? What does that work out to for a teener?
Like, I think 15 bucks.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, a teener was like $120.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in like the 90s.
I mean, when I got
1993,
sober,
speed
was always like $1,000 an ounce.
Yeah.
You know,
if you knew somebody.
Oh, dude, totally. Coke in the 80s was fucking 100, 120 bucks. People would be like, gram, yeah. You could pay a gram. You could even pay more. And like, it was almost, but it was of that, there's periods for all these drugs where they go through this. It's like they're like their hot stage and people just start getting as much as they can for them.
Yeah.
You know, like when the chronic and all that shit first started becoming a thing in like 90, 91, whatever. And like, you could not get that shit in Manhattan. You could not, you couldn't get it. I mean, even you couldn't get it in Rhode Island for sure. You could not get it in New York City, but I came out here and I smoked some, right? And it's and I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was like 70 bucks an eighth.
Yeah.
You know, 70 bucks an eighth.
Yeah,
there's
I remember
nothing. That
I used
same
to get it fronted.
Yeah, that same weed quality now, you get it at a dispensary for $40.
That's such a trip.
It's crazy.
Every drug has its Mickey Rourke 9.5 weeks phase.
That's right. That's right.
Where it's commanding $10 million a movie.
That's right.
And then,
meth is now having its wrestler phase. It's having its comeback. That's it. It's,
that's
that's
so
right.
Crazy,
don't
man.
Don't call it a comeback. Yeah,
it's been here for years.
The
love
other
it.
Thing, too, is I was talking to my buddy who he used to run Cry Help, and he had like a bunch of time sober, but he went out and he's back in now. He's got some time. He's a good dude. And he was telling me that, like, yeah, man, like, you literally can panhandle and get, like, $3, and there's somebody who'll sell you, like, enough meth to total, you know, like, 20 bucks worth of meth for, like, $3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just, like, really very easy to keep it going.
Because it's all from Mexico, they said Chapo's just, like, flooding the streets. There's so much of it.
Because
you got to remember, when most of us were doing it, you know, in the 90s, it was all made here.
Oh. Dude, I remember some guys
in Fullerton.
Yeah.
It was the largest industry in Fullerton.
I remember some guys that were cooks out in the Inland Empire. They were getting like snatched up by Mexicans and taken to Tijuana and made to cook.
Really?
Made to show them how to cook, and like then just getting kicked out on the streets like a week later with like 10 grand. You know what I mean? Like, they started like.
Somebody had to show them how to do it. But dude, they're making it in. It's like thousands of pounds at a time.
Yeah.
Giant.
I heard it's garbage. Is it, Danny?
I mean, it depends, you know. I had a dude, like, we had a dude that was really good. Everything came in from Mexico. Like, his family were the dudes that, like, when that big meth bust happened, and I don't remember the year, but it was, like, all over the news. Like, all these dudes got busted with, like, God knows how many, you know, 10,000 pounds or something. You
it
know?
Was
like,
them.
That was, it was his family, and he was, like, the young buck that wasn't really, he just partied a little, and he wasn't selling it, and then when he, like, came of age, they were like, here you go. Like, here's all the access to all
damn
the meth and fucking dope you can fucking get, you know? And he would, like, it didn't matter what amount we needed. We could call him and be like, hey, I need fucking 10 pounds of meth, you know? See you in 45 minutes. And he would front us it just because he knew we were good for it, you know? And as
really?
Much dope, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
One time we had a dude, and I got to run after this one.
Only,
we had a dude
only
call
Danny,
us.
By the way. No one fronted me more than $20 of any like, you fucking degenerate.
It,
you'll steal that money
when
from
we,
me.
He would bail us out. This motherfucker would bail us out because when me or my
homie. Oh,
because
he would dry up when you
guys
weren't around.
Yeah, because we were, you know, like,
he
would bring us,
to all his
we
money.
Were running Hollywood dope, you know.
Yeah,
we were running
yeah.
To the point where, like, the dudes from 18 that ran it were like, oh, y'all motherfuckers really doing it. Just take care of us, you know. And, like, we would take care of them and they would let us do our thing, you know. And anybody
really?
Else that was, like, trying to pull any fucking, you know, trying to pull any shit, they would go and, like, be like, yo, these, or we could tell them. We could be like, yo, there's this fool that's living here that's selling dope. And, like, that fool they would not, he would him. Not be selling dope any a week later, you know. He would yeah. be like not dead, but like
yeah.
his apartment would be empty, you know. He'd be moving
yeah,
back
crazy, man.
He'd be going to rehab, you know.
Yeah, that's bananas yeah. how that whole thing works with yeah. the taxing and shit.
Oh yeah, it's so yeah, there's so much weird politics and it's cool, you know. I've always dug that part of it. Like I've always like I remember meeting like somebody telling me like, oh, that's the mayor of Skid Row. And I was like, mayor of Skid Row? What the fuck y'all motherfuckers talking about? They're like, yeah, the dude, you know, he's got a cane and he walks around. And I'm like, what? You know, like, I don't, like, there's no mayor of yeah. Skid Row, you know? But there is. And like, and I was down there one day and I like was trying to get dope. And I didn't like, I didn't really know the get down yet. And they were like, and somebody pulled me aside and he was like, yo, this is Whoop De Whoop. You know, I'm not going to mention his name. But he was like, yo, he's like, white boy, what you doing? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you don't go buy. And he's like, you don't go buying dope over there. He's like, you buy dope. You buy it from these fools. If you're like, if you buy dope, you buy it from the Mexicans over here on these streets. If you buy crack, you buy it from these fools over here. He goes, otherwise, you're just going to get fake shit and you're going to get robbed, you know?
No
and
way.
There's like a code of conduct.
Yeah.
There,
are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
I tried figuring it out once when I was just, I just can't stand that area down there. It's just so gross. Yeah. You know what I mean? I in all honesty,
later, Danny. Yeah,
take care,
later, Danny.
All right. I wish I could stay. This is fucking getting good.
Yeah, no.
It's just getting good.
Just eating up.
Dude, have somebody cover you.
Down.
Oh, shit. I have all the fucking...
fuck. All right.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, like, where I had the most fortuitous experience with, like, plentiful dope and people being just totally cool and open about and jumping off is the Valley. The Valley is where it's at. And for me, anyway, like, yeah. you know, I mean, I don't know.
Bring you into the Valley? Is that
yeah,
what it was?
Pretty yeah, pretty much. That's probably why. Because
but I mean, he somehow moved from like the Inland Empire out.
He was raised up there in the Valley. He moved to Corona just on a little like blip of him and his family's life. They lived out there and we lived right near each other.
Oh,
and then, like,
okay.
That whole thing.
I didn't know that.
And then he was back up here. But yeah, he's pretty much Valley his whole life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He got it right here. SFV or across this belly and shit. But it's probably because of who introduced me around out there. But yeah, I mean, on the heroin tip, they're just like delivery people, like, you know, and yeah, it's just mad plentiful out there. Hollywood always seemed a little more too scrappy for me. You know what I mean?
Well, that, the thing is, like, I never.
It's hot. Hollywood's
I've always
hot.
Been super. Hollywood is sketchy as fuck. And it's always been sketchy. And the only thing that ever helped any of it was just the chaos, right? Like, it's like when you're in Vietnam and,
yeah.
and you're the one with a pea shooter, you know, and someone else is over there with a fucking whatever, M60, you're probably going to be able to roll fairly unnoticed.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I have to say, I've always had such a fascination with the Valley.
It's got a cool...
I've always said this thing... And any friends of mine who are listening will be like, oh, Christ, you're talking about that again. But I always had this fantasy of like that the Valley was a place where you could disappear forever if you just knew how. Like you could just
find a
street off Magnolia somewhere, a few removed.
It's fucking deep too,
and
man.
Deep. Just go out there, just hit Vineland and go.
And just keep going.
And just keep going. And after you've driven about 2 hours, like just pull over and get a little apartment and get a job at a store down the street and like all of a sudden
you really could do
you're
that.
Fucking gone.
You and really could do that.
I've had so many fantasies about that in my life. Like seriously.
That would make a great movie.
Dreamt about it. Well, you know.
It's funny though.
Maybe
running
one
around.
Day you could shoot a lot on an iPhone. I might find myself there someday. It's like whatever happened. Mike hasn't been into work for a while.
Speaking of Vineland, my big connection that I had out there was this old school Moroccan Jewish dude named that Jesus. You can bleep that and shit. But he lived right off Vineland and Agua Vista, like right there where the Beverly Garland Hotel is, you know,
oh,
right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, sure.
So it's like directly down there. He had this like old little house, you know, and he clearly used to do something legit. You know, he had the 7 Series BMW, whatever, but he just completely turned it into dope and kind of was the guy taking care of a lot of the celebrities who were partying and shit. And he had this full service house where literally you walk in, the living room table just had like speed, blow, pills, like, you know, all that kind of shit, porn going on a flat screen, people sitting around, Russians, Armenians, like all these people just stolen goods coming in and out of the side part of the house. he started getting such a train full of stolen shit. He set his back guest house up as a boutique. So you'd come in and he'd like, hey, okay. You know, he had this thick accent and shit. Like, you know, he'd take care of you, sit down, get everybody good and loaded. Then he'd do whatever business he had to do. Then if you had money, he'd take you back to the boutique and he had like True Religion jeans and fucking Mac makeup, like all, you know, all this shit, dude.
Stolen shit.
I don't know if, well, yeah, it's for sure stolen shit. And I don't know if it was like fake stuff, but
oh, right.
I mean, he had like so much different shit.
Oh, that full Santee Alley, just like.
I mean, just this whole.
Gucci with pack. Three C's.
Yeah, totally. But it was just wild, man. And it was just a fucking free for all. And he just.
How old was he?
He was probably like in his early 50s.
Yeah.
But he kind of had swagger. He was like really charismatic, funny, like, dude, you know? And
yeah.
Did he have chicks around and shit?
Tons of chicks, but he loved you to always bring chicks. You know what I mean? So I would just show up with some girls and we just fucking start partying, have a good old time and have a bunch of laughs. And he'd make food and get everybody loaded. And you know what I mean?
No
way. A couple dope deals and make some money.
Really?
And yeah. It was off the rails. Man, he just was super Johnny on the spot too. I remember like one time this girl that I was roommates with, she's like talking about like some dude, you know, or some other girlfriend that she was friends with. She's like, you know, Shanae, just for the sake of the story, Shanae is the biggest liar. He's like, this is impossible. Shakira is the biggest liar in the world, which was his girlfriend's name.
No, no way. Yeah.
This is impossible. Shakira is the biggest liar in the world.
That's awesome.
He was just super fucking witty and funny. But anyway, yeah, it's the Valley, man. I tell you what, it's on and popping, panties dropping in the Valley.
That's
for sure.
I know.
But aren't motherfuckers getting killed out there all the time?
You know what? It can be pretty crazy and violent. It does have a little bit of that IE thing with that SFV car kind of thing going on out there. But that happens like a lot deeper out there. Like if you go deeper out there, if you stay closer to Ventura Boulevard, you know what I mean?
A lot of bookmaking going on out there.
Is there really?
I was doing a little research on a story about bookies. I thought I was going to maybe try to do a show about bookies or something back in the day. It's not, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and I started rolling around with this one bookie, and I was like, bought a couple of books, read about it, you know, and was like, oh, this could be interesting. It is not interesting. I will tell you that. It's the most boring fucking thing in the world. You basically drive from like normal dude, like a dentist office to a deli to a restaurant to a this, and you collect and everybody just gives you the money that they owe you and nothing happens.
The most
what I mean? Like it's so like these people aren't druggies, like they're not really degenerates. They're like I don't know if I wasn't rolling with the right guy. They certainly seem like the right guy. They had a bodyguard with them. I mean, these dudes were they were armed, and we rolled around in the Valley for a few days just in the back of this fucking 7 Series BMW. and it was, I was like, okay, I could tell by day two, I was like, these guys are talking it up like so much more. I'm like, these guys can't either. They're not the guy, like the guys who do the real thing. Don't fucking talk about anything.
The corniest, like white bread, Southeastern dude that you ever want to meet in your life. This dude, Mel, that I was buddies with, was a bookie, and he was running around out in the Valley, and he was just off the fucking rails. Like, you know, he had this beautiful family in the Palisades and a couple small kids, but he, like, you know, he would be out in the Valley, like, running around with meth and trannies and doing all this wild shit, but he was a bookie, and he had a, he made a lot of dough, so he was kind of like a lot of these escorts that I knew out there that were all party friends, which, by the way, let me make that clear. They were just party friends, married, and I have kids now. They would just kind of take him for a ride and all the time, you know. But he had no protection. He was never armed. He was not a tough guy.
And he was a bookie?
And he was a bookie, and he had a book, and he, like, literally had a condo in the Palisades and drove, like, a really nice car. And, you know, he had dough. It's not like a movies 1970.
No,
fucking
it is not.
Raging Bull. Like, it's
that's
not
kind
like
of
that.
Of course I was hoping for, like, there was gonna be some grit. Like, shit isn't even on paper. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's none of it. Like, that shit's all on like phone, like it's already settled from the computers.
Yeah.
Like it's all,
yeah.
It's just pretty much you are, it's very, it was very boring. And I was like, all right, after a few days of that, I was like, no, I'm not doing this. This is yeah. terrible. And have you seen all the great bookie shows on? No, hey, no.
But you know what's, fuck. That new Adam Sandler movie is supposed to be amazing.
Dude, that looks dope.
What's Yo the Willem new Adam size? Sandler movie?
Oh, Yo saw it?
Yeah, and he said it's fucking phenomenal.
Oh, great.
What is it?
Dude, he's a jeweler, and but he's got a gambling addiction.
Oh, really?
And he's like this Jewish jeweler dude, you know? Like,
wait, did Yo shoot it?
No, but he went to a screening of it.
Oh, okay, wow.
The other night, but he said it's phenomenal. And I got to tell you, dude, Adam Sandler's not a very good comic actor. He's a fucking phenomenal serious actor.
Dude.
Punch drunk love? Fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
Jinx, buy me a cup. No, it. I absolutely fucking agree with you, man. He can be so good. That Happy Gilmore shit like was fun for a minute, but like I can watch Punch Drunk Love on repeat.
Yeah.
Like he's so good in it. You're like, how the fuck? Who is this guy?
Dude, it was so crazy how my life moved at that time. At that point, we were back at my buddy that passed away's house, like sharing a bedroom for like a weekend or 3 or 4 days.
With the Southern chicks?
Yeah, not like fucking per se, but like I just was like, my bag was in the corner and they were just in this room, her and these two other girls just like fixing speed every couple of hours. It was dark. Jesus. I was in and out.
Isn't that's so wild that you'll go to, like, there's a thing when you enter a drug house, like if you've got the bag, you can automatically like have your own room.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Thing. That's so crazy.
But you're hanging your own shit on the wall.
But you don't even really have to just like give anybody like here's rent. You're just like come see me when you're, you know what I mean? That's so
if you're a little bit short, come on by.
It's so dark, man. But yeah, it's funny. I remember heroin connection, Mayo, was like I picked up from him. He was always like around Playboy liquor, like down there in that dark part of Hollywood.
Playboy.
Yeah, Playboy. And I hate that part of town. Always told me, he's like, even if someone wants an 8-ball in Hollywood, you don't go. You don't deliver in Hollywood.
Dude, you really? Don't go. Yeah. Selma and Yucca.
He's like Encino, Toluca Lake. Like he's calling out all these other places. Toluca Lake. Like, whatever.
Yeah, no shit. You're bringing Bob Hope heroin.
He's like, heroin? No. Anyway,
what do you think happened to him?
Hollywood, no. Dude, he actually got raided finally, right? And it was so funny too because like he got raided finally and they spent like 11 hours just pulling shit out of his house, dude. Like he had shit buried, he had shit in the walls, he had garage fulls of shit. He had so much shit over there and everybody was clucking shit to him and stuff. And like, he was just buy, sell, trade, like open market that even after they raided his house and took everything and took him and everything else, like I went by there once a day for probably like the next 7 or 8 days. And every day just grabbed something that was worth like $300-$400.
No way.
I swear to God. Like, and just, you know, went and
because he was just sitting in jail.
He was gone, and they had taken everything. And but yeah, it was crazy, man.
Oh, so no idea what happened to him after.
Oh,
that.
No. Yeah, he went to jail. He went to jail. He ended up getting like a short term in prison, like 16 months.
Yeah,
and he agreed, I think, to go to like the Jewish rehab on the other side of town. He went to rehab, and I think he got clean. I don't know.
Oh, right.
Which is cool because he was like a really fucking cool guy. But I just remember this, like he got his two front teeth knocked out by some wood in reception or somewhere in prison in the early days. Because
now when you say wood, do you mean peckerwood? Right?
I mean,
peckerwood, you mean like a white man.
Yeah.
In prison.
Yeah. Cool. He said
just
that,
for the folks out there who
aren't knowing,
who don't know.
He got his two front teeth knocked out because he was like in the pen, like, and I heard this secondhand, but this is totally like him. Some peckerwood was like, who you running with? Yeah. And, you know, he just gave no value to all that shit, but he was there now, you know, he needed to. Yeah. He's like, I'm running with Nikes. What do you think I'm running with?
Dude,
he fucking punched him right in the fucking mouth and knocked his front teeth out. Because the right answer would have been, in his case, other, maybe, I guess.
Probably the white dudes. I mean, it's a weird, it's such a fucked up.
It is,
that whole
right?
thing is so fucked up. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I was at a Silver Lake dinner the other night with some of the parents and friends of, like, you know, my wife and our kids that go to this really nice preschool in Silver Lake. It's not that it's expensive, but it's just nice. It's in a nice neighborhood and stuff. And one of the dads is a film writer or a writer and a director. He just did this movie called Cuck that is on Amazon, that it's basically about a guy in the valley. It's in the valley. You can see it on Amazon. And it's about a dude that, like, he's kind of like lost in life and kind of a loser. And he finds white nationalist shit online.
Oh, whoa.
And he fucking goes deep into this hole. And he also meets this, like, porn star couple. And it's really dark, this movie.
Oh, good. I want to see that.
It's called Cuck. And it's really fucking good. And so he and I are talking, trading stories.
Yeah.
Because he also did a lot of running around in the valley.
Yeah.
And he started talking to me about prison. He befriended some guy in prison that wrote some book. And he started talking about how he's interested in the politics of prison. And I started, like, telling him, like, fuck, man. I hate that shit. But I also grew up in the IE and I'm an addict and I've been in and out of jail a couple times. I started telling him the story of me getting jumped in county jail by, like, three Southsiders, which was probably one of the most horrible experiences of my life. But I started telling it Reno volume, like, fucking in this backyard on Mitchell Torino, like, overlooking the fucking city,
amazing
fire pit and everything, you know? Because, I mean, I was just in county, like, for whatever it was, possession, some other bullshit violation stuff. And I was wanted in LA. I got busted with, like, a rig in Riverside County, which is, like, a big deal. So I go in there, they give me, like, my bullshit little sentence, and then they were going to transport me to LA. But I'm in this big, like, 18 man cell. And it's the old jail, Riverside old jail, which is now destroyed. They've torn it down, but it was literally like, it almost was like you're in the hull of a ship in World War II. It was like steel walls with rivets and bars. It was just dark. Three man bunks, three high, like all the way around.
Three Stooges bunks and shit?
Yeah. And then there's a bathroom in the middle that also has bars. And then on the other side of that bathroom is another 18-man cell. Mm-hmm. And so every hour, these doors rotate shut, allowing each one of the dorms use of the bathroom and the showers. And this young Latino and I kind of had words, and I just knew, like, you know, if you kind of have words with someone like that, you're just like, do you want to fucking get it on or what? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm not going to sit here and let you disrespect me and talk shit like that. Like, do you want to get down on the bunk and off the bunk and handle this? Cause it was late at night and he didn't want to, but then the next day he, like, kind of, like, called on the troops and they jimmy rigged the door so that when it closed and allowed them, hold on a second. So when our side of the door was going to close, they put tape on it so it didn't lock, like a bunch of tape that the bedrolls come in.
Oh, okay.
When they give you fresh bedrolls and clothes, they come rolled up with masking tape.
Okay.
And they put a bunch of that on the thing. And, you know, that's the thing is they just wait for action. Like, you know what I mean? Like, bullshit, little thing like that will set something off. So he just, like, alerted these big dudes and told them that somehow or another I violated something. And, like, you know, they just, the next morning at breakfast, they're like, hey, homie, come here. Let me get at you for a minute at the bars. And, like, I went over to the bars and he, like, I don't even really remember what he said. But my bunkie was down from prison, was a white boy, and he was behind me. He's like, hey, man, he's not knowing what's up. Like, you know, you guys need to chill out. And they were just like, hey, you know, mind your business or whatever. And they just slid the fucking door open and came running out of the bathroom. It should have been locked.
Oh, right.
And they slid the fucking door open. They jimmy rigged it and they just surrounded me. But one of them hit me in the side of the head. And then they started trying to stomp me out. And there were, like, these three high bunks. There was this, like, skinny black dude that had his hair dyed like Cisco. You remember that dude, Cisco?
Yeah, the
thong song.
Yeah,
he was, like, running around talking shit all the time, you know? Like, he was almost getting teed off on left and right. And I just grabbed him and used him as a shield and dove into one of those bottom bunks.
No way.
I swear to God. And I just was, like, fucking aiming him all these different directions. And
oh, my
feet
God.
Are coming in. And they didn't really get me good. They got my ear lumped up pretty good. And the wood that was down from prison jumped in and got all crazy and shit. But it was fucking terrifying because I've heard stories of what goes on in there. I don't know if they were going to pull a shiv or what the fuck was going to happen. But I'm telling that story in, like, the company of like a whole in a setting like this, overlooking
incredible,
and like some amazing guy's 40th birthday party that just finished running the New York Marathon. You know what I mean?
Just like, hey Gary, that's pretty good. I love the place. Hey, I got a story for you, real quick.
That was kind of gnarly,
Gary.
But that producer, writer, guy, director, whatever of that movie was like, you know, he was just digging it. Like, yeah, more.
Yeah.
And,
I have that same story. I think I told it like a week ago. I got jumped at Wayside.
Oh man.
I had words with a dude and we were gonna get, and then, you know, like three of them.
Mexican guy?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then yeah. Like three of them. Or maybe a Salvadoran or something, but
that's how you kind of learned that, like, I always kind of knew they ran shit. And, like, there were a couple dudes from my hometown that I knew since junior high, Latino dudes.
Yeah.
Like, when they moved me to the next place,
yeah,
was my buddy's little cousin that I grew up with. And I'm like, yo, this just happened over there because I know that shit follows you.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay, well, no one's going to jump you here, but if anybody's got a problem, you go one-on-one with them. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that either. You know, yeah. That's why you fucking left alone. But you kind of learn that shit, yeah. Huh? That's how you learn,
yeah,
that you just have to fucking walk away.
Well, I got jumped by these three dudes. And then actually another Southsider, Skid Spider from Diamond Street, he broke it up. He's like, get the fuck out. He goes, you can't be fucking jumping on him. He's like, when we go to the joint, that's our fucking ally. Like one dude,
oh, wow,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, who knew what was up?
Yeah, he was like, you guys fucked up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But that usually don't happen. They're just fucking predators. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. That's what this, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it's
that
so
sounds
dark
like a best
there
case kind of like, that's some,
yeah,
I mean, at least he was sharing,
I mean,
important
they,
info.
I mean, they, three of them jumped me. I don't even know that I would like, I mean, I was probably like you were, like, I wasn't like fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I got hit a handful of maybe 6-7 times, but not like any ringers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's not usually like how fights go too.
Yeah.
Is like fucking, you know, everyone's moving around so fast and
yeah,
you know what I mean? One dorm though that I was in, I think this was the last time I was in Riverside County, it was almost like out of a movie where there was all this camaraderie and they were like all fuck the deputies and they were like really like, it was like some like, you know,
Brubaker
troop kind of, yeah. I came in there and I was just super bummed out being there and I was like, fuck. And I got in my bunk and chilling and the two dudes were like kind of looking at me like, you know, what's this fucking dude hiding in his bunk for? Hey, man, what you in here for? And I'm like, I jumped up. I'm like, let's talk about it. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? And they started laughing, you know. And then I told them what I was in there for, drugs, whatever stuff. And I'm like, why does it fucking smell so bad? They're like, oh, the cops just came in here with pepper ball guns fucking a few hours ago. I'm like, why? What happened? They're like, oh, well, one of the deputies called us a bunch of bitches, so we threw a cup of piss on him and like they came back with fucking pepper ball guns, so they got like a mattress and they kind of rushed the pepper ball gun thing in the bars and it was kind of funny. They were just kind of like on
jail
some, like,
is fucked up, man.
It is, oh, man.
You know, the weird, here's how fucked up LA jails are. I'm not kidding you, and I'm sure Riverside's the same. Orange County's got nice jails though, but like, honest to God, like, when you go to the LA County jail, like when you watch those shows like Lock Up or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And see jails in other places.
I'm terrified of jail more than anything.
It's fucking, I've been there multiple times, not as much as Keith, and I'm fucking terrified of it. It's,
I mean,
disgusting.
It sucks, but I got to tell you, everybody else's jail sure looks nice compared to LA County.
LA County's gross.
LA County's supposed to be the worst in the country, right?
When you're checking in there, well, checking
yeah
in, like you're.
Yeah.
When you're being processed in, which is probably the most fun you're going to have the whole time you're there.
Yeah.
Because it's like wide open spaces. You're kind of walking around and
yeah
getting as many sandwiches as you want.
Yeah.
Shit. Like, it's fucking, you know, they have this shit playing on the TV talking about that MRSA is rampant in the jail and that you're supposed to always have multiple pairs of socks on you and like, you're not supposed to ever touch your bare skin on any of the surfaces and shit like that.
Is that because, true?
Yeah, fucking hey. That was just, I was there in 2010, 2011. MRSA, they've shown a video in there. It's like just gnarly.
I've never even heard of MRSA.
MRSA is like you never heard of MRSA?
I've heard of it. What is it again? What happens?
It stands for methicillin, which methicillin is the most strong antibiotic there is.
Yeah.
Methicillin resistant staphylococcus, blah, blah,
yep.
blah.
Yep.
It's like boils of infection. Crazy. Yeah. It's so dark.
I can't think of a better way to conclude. If you guys have anything else.
I mean, I always like to bring it back to like a positive, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
for me anyway. Let's bring it back to a positive. Yeah.
You know, I've been through so many relapses and rebuilds and different crazy shit. And I, you know, really in a lot of gratitude that in 2014, when I finally sought it out, that I really was able to dig in and get the help that I needed and really do the work to really redirect the ship in a way that I never had before. And, yeah, my life's insane today. You know what I mean? I've a wife, two beautiful kids. I just started an incredible job, you know, and I'm only just over 5 years sober.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trade any of my stories. Maybe the one getting beat up in jail. I probably could have done without that one. But, you know, a lot of the fucking stories, man, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of good times, a lot of laughs. And, you know, yeah, but I'm truly grateful that I'm clean and sober today and living the way I'm living.
Also, on a side note, though, the one thing you have to remember is, like, at least with me, and I think Reno would agree, is like, well, we think it's fun because it's no fun being in your own skin.
Yeah.
Until you deal with all that shit.
Yeah,
you know what
it's
I mean?
True.
Because, you know, regular motherfuckers, you know, can have a good time without any of that shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you're right. It is
a lot
to do
with
that.
I don't know a lot of regular motherfuckers.
Charlie. One thing I
know
can
what
assure
you mean.
You is Charlie has yet to hear a story that makes him want to try heroin.
Oh God.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, that's a good thing because that's one.
Were
fucking,
you shooting heroin?
Yeah.
Reno.
Yeah. I snorted it a couple times when I first started fucking around, but I knew pretty quickly that I wanted to.
Wait,
bang
do we
it.
Want to have Reno rattle off the taxi story, or do you want to do that another time?
I mean, you want to do it another time? It's getting a little bit late. I want to come back. I had such a good time for sure. So let's kick off the new year with the taxi story.
Yeah,
dude, that'd be. Will you come back?
Fucking A.
That
absolutely.
Would be.
Wait,
an
who was on with Reno?
Pleasure.
I think it'd be good to have Reno and Danny here together the whole
dude,
time.
Dude, I know.
Danny's got some good damn stories, man.
Dude,
for sure.
I don't, dude. When he hears funnel butt though,
funnel butt is incredible.
Funnel butt.
She was hot as fuck too. I'm gonna try to Google her right now and see what.
But a liberator.
He's genius, though, isn't he?
Fuck. Oh, my God, yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to another episode. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at itisallbad.
5-star.
Oh. Five star. Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
No. 5-star.
5-star. Yeah, listen up. That's all I got to say. Listen up. More
please
good stuff to come.
Give us a follow. We
this
got thousands
just the
of
beginning.
Stories coming.
That's right. This is just the beginning. I don't know. That sounds good, though, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
More to come.
Yeah. Oh,
what?
Mordecai? Right. What?
Hey, I got a question for you guys because someone asked us on Instagram.
Nope.
Hey, I got a question for you
no,
guys because someone
no
asked
money.
Us.
Yeah. I don't have any money, dude. I'm sorry. Okay,
he asked about Breaking Bad and how realistic it was to your guys' experience.
You know what?
When I think of a bad guy, I think of Bryan Cranston.
I will tell you this. There's a lot of shit in that. I don't know who wrote it or whatever. I'm guessing that guy who directs him, but
yeah.
There's a lot of it that is taken. Because I remember when people were cooking dope in motorhomes and shit. That was like 90, 91. You know, because it was a thing where people, you know, you traditionally move from house to house. And then people started doing it in these things. But the shit where they, when they get to the like underground lab, that's a whole nother thing. I mean, I'm sure people, but I've never heard of anybody.
Heard or seen of it.
Not with a super lab like that. But several people.
But that's more recent development, right? The super lab shit?
Yeah, and they're all in Mexico.
Yeah.
But the shit in the, and then the other one, you know, there's an episode where they go into a house that's, you know when you tent a house to do termites?
Yeah.
Right. I remember somebody doing that as
well.
Oh,
really?
Like somebody knew a house that was getting tented, so they went in there and cooked dope. You know what I mean?
Because,
I mean, really, if you had somebody, huh?
That was a cool part in the show.
There was a guy that, this guy, I'll leave nameless, but me and my friend Rocky hung out with, who, he had a company called I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, it's out of business.
It'll bleep.
You pest control, and that's what they did, you know? And, like, if you think about it, if you have the shit to cover a house, you could safely fucking wrap a house and go in there and do whatever the fuck you want.
You could do whatever.
Nobody's going to go
like
in there.
Like, wrap it in an abandoned house and just wrap it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to think about any weird smells coming out or smoke or
nothing.
Shit.
Yeah, just put, put a van in the driveway that has the, you know, has the,
yeah, the logo on it.
Yeah, logo on it. Boom. Bingo bongo.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. It's weird. I never, that show always, I never got, like, the first season, of course, you're just like, whoa, this is rad. Like, you know, and the weirdest thing to me about it was the first episode felt like almost everything I needed to.
Totally. No,
you were
great.
Like, the first episode is an absolute masterpiece for any writer who's thinking about, like, trying to set up a show and how you set up an entire series in one fucking episode. Like, it's perfect down to the fucking syllable.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, by season three or four, when it's like, okay, so now other gang people are coming up, mm-hmm, and they want to take his money from him, and guess what? They're not gonna win this year because they just announced they're gonna go another season.
I
know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, I don't know.
It's also rare that I remember a few dudes cooking speed that didn't do it, but I don't ever really remember that lasting so much. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I feel like eventually they get, you know, you get brought, because, you know, like, to be honest, like, a lot of people start doing this shit because the chicks are doing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it, because it's a big power thing, being a crank dude, being somebody who cooks crank. It carries a lot of power. It also carries a lot of danger, because people will be trying to rob you and shit, you know?
Yeah. Right. But no one's setting up, like, empires like he did.
No.
I mean, someone must. But.
My one friend, I don't know if I sent you guys that book. It's actually my friend's brother. They were doing things in a grand scale. I'm not sure they were doing that much of it. You know what I mean? Like, that amounts, but they fucking definitely, they definitely were making money. And there's a book, I have to send you guys the book about it, but my friend's brother was like, but he left Covina. He wasn't part of our circle. You know what I mean? The thing going on in Covina, they were doing a much bigger thing. Mostly they were making ecstasy, but then they started, like, selling crank as well. And then it all, like, hit the fan. There's a book about it because it's a fucking wild story. Like, a couple of people got murdered and shit like that. Like, dudes that were the feds, you know, it looks like in the newspaper says the feds let them kill these dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Robert Mueller was the fucking prosecutor. I didn't tell you guys about that.
No. Fuck,
I didn't.
No.
Bobby Mueller.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, he came at the end when they were prosecuting Pierre, and he was just trying to clean everything up, because these DEA agents or whatever they were, what they did is the two of them who were involved, because, like, one guy went and goes, hey, so-and-so wants me to kill the so-and-so, you know, because the guy was already a rat. And he's like, hey, fucking, they want me to kill blah, blah, blah. And he go, okay, well, let's see how it plays out or whatever. And you know how it played out. They killed the motherfucker, threw him in a dumpster. But so when the shit hit the fan, Mueller came in to prosecute Pierre, and but he was trying to, like, clean up, because these two agents, they both took a stress leave from work, you know, like stress sabbatical or some shit. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you don't have to testify.
Oh.
So they dodged a bullet. Here, I got to find it for you guys.
Yeah.
I never seen the show.
No. It's good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I watched it all the way through.
Yeah. You know what's weird is,
it was one of the last shows I watched all the way through live.
Yeah. You know what? I've seen it, Better Call Saul, but I've never watched Breaking Bad. Isn't that weird?
It was a great show too.
Yeah.
They're both rad.
I really fucking liked Breaking Bad. I was way late on it. But I was like, you know, it's more about this just crazy volatile fucking relationship.
Yeah.
Between these two dudes.
And his family.
But then,
and
like,
that.
To get those guys, I mean, I guess in the same breath that I'm about to say there aren't those super villains, like, you know, who's the one guy who's the African-American dude who's, like, the very, very, like, soft-spoken super
villain? The Pollos Hermanos
guy?
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, that guy.
I don't remember his name.
You know, in the same breath as I'm about to say, like, there aren't those guys, like, once in a while there are. Like, El Chapo's been around for a long enough time, and you know that dude's been shot at plenty. Like,
yeah.
There are a couple of few rare examples of drug lords that, like, last more than 10 years. Usually it's a shorter run.
I just sent it to you guys. It's called Devil Express. Yeah. It's worth reading. Nice. I think another dude in prison wrote it. Wow. That's the feeling I get. And it's an easy read. Mm.
The Devil Exposed.
Yeah.
That's the book Keith was talking about. Great. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for
listening. 5 star! Oh.
And the loop continues. Yeah.
5 star!
If you want to come on the show or know anyone who should come on the show, you can either DM us or email us at itisallbadpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we'll see you. Cool. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Later.